Radio Molossia.
News break. This month's news in the Republic of Molossia.
Molossian Broomball, 29 March 2026. It's time again for Molossian Broomball, the famous game with no rules. Though honestly, we Molossians aren't a real athletic bunch. When the mood strikes us, we take up brooms and head out to play Broomball. Molossian Broomball isn't like that played up in the frozen north, none of that sissy messing about on ice stuff for us Molossians. Here we have brooms, we have a ball, and we have a rock-strewn dirt patch called the Alphonse Sims Memorial Cosmodrome and Broomball Field. On this dusty sward, we valiantly whack the poor ball, or balls, back and forth and spend large amounts of time retrieving them from the surroundings. Eventually, we tire of this and call it a game. Broomball rules? None, actually. If you want to have two teams, three teams, no teams, or switch teams if there are any, mid-game, or have goals, have no goals, or have sword fights with the brooms, anything goes. But above all, the main goal is to have fun. In other news, General Lissimo Francisco Franco is still dead.
Oh yeah, ooh, that's how it always starts. But then later there's running and screaming.
I hallucinating here? Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
Strange Adventure. A lone rider thundered into the pioneer village of St. Ives, North Dakota, and dismounted in the middle of the single street. His foam-flecked horse stumbled and almost fell from exhaustion. Men and women rushed to the dust-caked man as he gasped his warning.
The Sioux! They're on the warpath. They've wiped out 2 settlements in a wagon train to the south of you. They burn, they kill. They're headed this way.
George Mason, the recognized head of the settlers, helped the trail-weary messenger stay on his feet.
Well, that's a good thing we're protected. A runner got here a little while ago, saying a troop of cavalry is headed this way. Should be here in a couple of days.
Oh, that's too late. The Indians will be here in a matter of hours. A day at the most.
Mason shouted orders.
Get every gun in the village ready for use. Take all the ammunition. At first sign of the Indians, get all the women and children into the center of town. Right now, every man grab a shovel. We'll throw up a rampart.
The messenger shook his head.
Well, if that's the best you can do, you're lost. It's a big band of Indians. They've got rifles. They're experts at shooting flaming arrows into your houses.
Well, we'll do the best we can. If they wipe us out, they'll know they've been in the battle.
Tom Reed, the scout, worked his way through the crowd.
Say, when I was hunting yesterday, I saw an encampment of soldiers about 30 miles north of here. If we can get word to them, maybe they'll get here in time to save us.
You know where they are, Tom. Your horse is good. Get going.
Tom Reed mounted and dashed across the northern prairie. The men of the village dug and piled dirt, throwing up a small rampart. All night they worked, but their earthen wall was still inadequate. At daybreak, Mason ordered the men to pause. He cocked his head, taking advantage of the silence. After an instant, he shouted,
I hear horses. Get the women and children to safety and get ready to fight.
The thunder of hooves grew louder, reverberating across the prairie. As the day brightened, a cloud of dust could be seen rising out of the north, but also a similar dust cloud from the south. Men were racing toward the village from opposite directions. It was a close race, but the men from the north were the first to arrive at the village. The Indians came close enough to see that the settlement was well defended, then fled across the prairie. It was then that the citizens of St. Ives noticed the uniforms of their rescuers. The men wore coats of red. Tom Reed had dashed across the border into Canada and got help from a squadron of Royal Northwest Mounted Police. Thus, in 1874, the United States was actually but unofficially invaded and its citizens rescued by Canadian Mounties. Because of the delicate international legality involved, no official recognition has ever been made of the incident. But many settlers of the northern border gave their very sincere thanks. This is Pat McGeehan in Hollywood, California, saying goodbye from my writer, Charles Crowder, and inviting you to listen to Death Goes Calling, our next tale of Strange Adventure.
Life, so they say, is but a game and they let it slip away.
Love, like the autumn sun,
should be dying, but it's only just begun.
Like the twilight in the road up ahead, they don't see just where we're going. All the secrets in the universe whisper in our ears. All the years come and go, take us up, always up. We may never pass this way again. We may never pass this way again. We may never pass this way.
Say, for the fools, and they let them drift away. Peace, like the silent dove, should be flying, but it's only just begun. Like Columbus in the olden days, we must gather all our courage, sail our ships out on the open sea, cast away our fears, and all the years will come and go. Take us up, always up. We may never pass this way again. Easy. I wanna cry if it makes it worthwhile. I may never pass this way again. That's why I want it with you. Cause you make me feel like I'm more than a friend. Like I'm the journey and you're the journey's end.
Listening to Radio Molossia.
Truth is stranger than fiction. This is the proof. This is Ripley's. Believe it or not.
Lincoln's Inn Fields, a 12-acre square, is the largest in London. It was designed in 1618 by the celebrated architect Inigo Jones to conform to the exact size and shape of the base of the Great Pyramid of Egypt. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you about a woman worth her weight in gold.
Visit the Bank of Molossia and get your collectible Molossian coins.
Warren Hastings, the great empire builder and first governor general of British India, fell in love with the Baroness Anna Maria Imhoff. Before her husband would grant her a divorce, Hastings turned over to him a quantity of gold equal to her weight. It took 8 years before they could be legally married. By that time, Madame Imhoff was nearly 40 years old. And during 41 years of married life, he never wavered in his love for the woman he priced above gold. Believe it or not.
Our situation has not improved.
Hanging in the window in the evening on a Friday night. Little light is shining through the window, lets me know everything's alright. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind. Jasmine in my mind. paper laying on the sidewalk, a little music from the house next door. So I walk on up to the doorstep, through the screen and across the floor. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind. Days of summer, the jasmine's in bloom. July is dressed up and playing her tune. And I come home from a hard day's work, and you're waiting there. A care in the world. See the smile of rain in the kitchen, food cooking on the plates for two. Feel the arms that reach out to hold me in the evening when the day is through. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind.
Radio Molossia.